Any questions? Put your hand up. If you're a bit shy, get the person next to you to ask the question. Chris. Okay, so maybe the question is, when you hear things about, you know, the supernatural things that happen, I think our response as Christian is to be generous and to be gracious, depending on what they say as well. I mean, if they kind of go, oh, there was an outpouring of the Spirit and people decided that Jesus is not Lord, then of course you don't want to be gracious to that. But if they're saying, oh, there was an outpouring of the Spirit and then suddenly we have this revelation that we are sinful people who need to repent, well, I would say amen to that. To be honest, it doesn't really matter if it comes from a supernatural force or if it's just their gut feeling as they read their Bible and it just hits them finally that they need to repent. Like, honestly, I honestly think it doesn't really matter. That's on a practical level. Of course, if you want to think about it on a theological level and see whether that's possible or not and whether those things really happen, well, that's a discussion that people can have with generosity and grace. In fact, I heard a debate on this. On that grip of prophecy, whether it works or not, and these two people who have a different opinion, it's wonderful to see Christians debating. And at the end, the moderator asked, "You can have the last word." What, you know? And then he said, "Well, I think as brothers and sisters, our final word should be this: that even though we differ in our opinions, we love one another. And Christians, when they see us debating like this, they know that there is love here, and there's something different." I think that's awesome. And I think we need to have that attitude, as opposed to, you know, if you want to be skeptical, fine, but do it in a gracious way. Yeah. Any other questions? Does that mean we can make any decisions? No, I hope not. I hope you'll be making the right decisions. So please don't hear that I'm saying to you, you know, make whatever decision you want to make, it doesn't really matter, because it does matter. Like I said, if you make the wrong decisions, you'll be accountable to it. But God can still make what you've done wrong into something good in your process of becoming like Jesus. So I would say this, focus on the Word, become more like Jesus, and when the time comes to make a decision, make it. Make a decision based on what you know of the Bible, based on what other people have said to you about the Bible. Make that decision. Don't worry about it. Make the best decision that you can make. Make the most godly decision that you can make. If it's two godly decisions, Jane wants to marry you, and Jenny wants to marry you. Somehow they're very similar names. And they're both godly Christians, and they both can be great partners in ministry. Hey, flip a coin. Oh, no, sorry. Someone got into trouble for saying that. I should not say that. Let me read it back. And they both are compatible to you, and you know, you're not like so different that there will be problems in your marriage. Maybe they're twins. They're so the same. And then flip a coin. Yeah. But even if you realize, and 25 years later, you realize, oh no, I made the wrong decision, because Jane, I thought, who was Christian, decided 20 years later, she's not a Christian anymore. She left the faith, and she became this really hard wife to live with. And you go, oh no, I made the wrong decision. Well, no, you made the right decision. You made a godly decision, because she's a Christian, she loves Jesus at that time, as far as you know, and she's compatible to you, and that can work out. You made the right decision. The decision now you need to make at that time, 20 years later, would be to continue loving her as God loved us, his adulterous wife. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Yeah. So make godly decisions. Don't make any decisions. Make godly decisions. But you can only make godly decisions if you are transformed by the Word. So focus on being transformed by the Word. That is my take-home message. And yes. Often I think when you don't make decisions, you are making one. A non-decision is a decision. Yeah, so for example, let me give you an example, right? Deb asked me, example out of nowhere, it doesn't really happen. Deb asked me, okay, you need to make a decision, please, on holidays, very trivial. Let's just use a very trivial example. You know, should we go to place A or place B? And then I go, oh, I don't know, I don't want to make a decision. In fact, I'm making a decision, and my decision is, I want to annoy you right now. That's my decision. I want to annoy you right now by not making a decision. So at the end, you do make a decision. Yeah. Does that answer your question? Being annoying to your wife is a bad decision. Yeah, that will be the less godly decision. Yeah. So if you know you don't want to, you can't make a decision between Jane or Jenny, and you go you keep waiting till 2-3 years, and these girls are going, oh please choose for us, choose from one of us. That's making a bad decision. You're being a terrible person if you do that. Any other questions? Last one. Nope. All right, let's get the musicians up, and we'll respond with a song that says that the life we live belongs to Him. So let's live our lives for Him, be transformed by the Word, so that we might please Him in every way. Let's stand and sing together.